happy Father's Day. Pastor Rogers asked me to preach this morning because he had to be at VBS every evening this week. Last Sunday morning, he twisted the arm of the first person he saw who was not a VBS worker. So in case you're wondering, I'm not here because I'm a good father. He asked if I would preach on Sunday, and I said, okay. And then he said, it's Father's Day, and I winced. I was 37 years old when we moved to Jakarta, my Maureen and the kids and I. Jakarta was a big city with very many English-speaking churches. And there were, we attended an Anglican church. I would look around the congregation and see several men of whom I would say, I want to be like them when I grow up. I was startled to learn years later that I was actually older than some of them. The reason I wanted to be like them is because they were good fathers and husbands. So I'm not up here because I'm a good father. I'm up here because I was the first person Pastor saw last Sunday who was not a VBS worker. To begin, I want to quote a verse from Isaiah chapter 38. You can turn to it, but I'll be reading it to you. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 19. It is the living who give thanks to you as I do today. A father tells his son about your faithfulness. The context here is that Hezekiah had been very ill, and the Lord had granted him a further 15 years of life. This is part of Hezekiah's prayer of thanks. Hezekiah wants to live so that he can tell his son Manasseh about God's faithfulness. Manasseh is probably 12 years old here. It didn't take, but Manasseh did repent when he was old. The damage had been done, and Israel had to go into exile because of Manasseh's evil. But I want to revisit this verse. Many English versions of this verse have the father telling his sons about the Lord's faithfulness. The word is actually truth. I think the KJV and the NKJV have truth. But not only historical truth from God as given in his word, but truth about God. And that truth, through generations, becomes faithfulness. Think about it. God is merciful to King Hezekiah. Hezekiah tells his son Manasseh the truth that God is merciful. Manasseh rejects his father's teaching and becomes the worst king Judah ever had. Manasseh then gets captured by the Assyrians and sent to prison in Babylon. But the book of Chronicles records that Manasseh repented and God restored him to his place. For the country of Judah, who followed him blindly into paganism, it's too late. But for Manasseh, God's mercy brings him back to Judah and restores his kingdom to him. That's the truth of God and the faithfulness of God through generations. So Manasseh tells his son and his grandson this. The son, Amon, rejects the teaching, but his grandson, Josiah, makes great efforts to reforming the religious life of the nation. But Josiah's sons also reject their father's teaching. And they are either killed or exiled. That is also the truth of God, that God is just, and his justice also extends through generations. He is faithful. The truth of God through generations is his faithfulness. Your son may reject your teaching, but he does have a better chance of being a believer if you teach him. If you do not teach him the truth, the chances of his being a believer plummet. I want to make a slight digression here to make a point. I have previously told my father's story before at this podium, but today I will review part of it briefly. My father was born a long time ago, in 1901, in a German settlement in the southern reaches of the Russian Empire, during the reign of Tsar Nicholas II. My father had a bilingual education. At home, he was taught in German. In school, he was taught in Russian. One of my earliest memories of my father is of his adding long columns of figures, muttering under his breath in Russian, because he learned arithmetic in Russian. He learned to count in Russian, and he counted in Russian all his life. But another early memory I have of my father is that at the beginning of every family meal, he would say a prayer in German. And before we left the table, he would say another prayer in German. And I knew when he did that, that his father had taught him the prayers. Now, when my dad was 18, he was caught up in the Russian Civil War, and he was marked for execution by the Bolshevik terrorists. So my father prayed, Gott sei mir sündig gnädig, which is, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's Luke chapter 18, verse 13b, the publican's prayer, the tax collector's prayer. He prayed it in German because that too was part of his father's teaching. His father taught him the scriptures. His father taught him the prayers. My father told me this story when I was very young, but he also taught me creation when I was less than 7. 30 years had passed from the time of the revolution, or the time of the Civil War. He was now living in Canada. He had taken on the position of treasurer of the United Lutheran Church in Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Alberta. That's an area nearly 3 times as big as Texas. And he went around to every United Lutheran Church and preached there, in English or in German, in order to raise money for a seminary in Saskatoon. That explains his adding up the long columns of figures. He was doing the church books. Okay. On one of his trips, he stopped at a diner, and he struck up a conversation with the waitress, asking her if she believed in Jesus. Oh no, she answered. I don't believe in that stuff. I believe the earth just came to be. My father pulled out his pocket watch. Now, this was in the early 50s or late 40s when men wore pocket watches. He pulled out his pocket watch and said, it's interesting how I got this watch. I was walking down the road one day and I wanted to know what time it was, and all of a sudden, poof, and there it appeared in front of me, so I grabbed it. The waitress, who had some smarts, said, I don't believe that. That's not true. And he says, but you believe that this enormous planet with all of its vegetation and all of its animals just appeared in space? And she said, I never thought of it like that. I don't know what happened to that young waitress, but I remember what happened to me when he told me that story. I learned that God created the universe. When I went to school, I learned about scientific theories of the beginning of the universe, but I always knew that God was behind it somehow. And when I was 44, when a PhD geologist from Sydney, Australia, came to Jakarta and told me that just as Genesis records it, until Adam sinned, no creature had died. And there were no fossils until Adam sinned. That's how death came to the earth. And when he told me that, I became a six-day creationist instantly, even though I was still working as a scientist for an oil company. My father had provided a plowed, well-watered field in my mind in which the seed of the Spirit could awaken, and it did. I believed the book of Genesis after nearly 40 years of thinking I knew better. My father taught me his faith, and his father taught him his, not only in Russia 100 years ago, but back through the generations in Russia until the family came to Russia from Germany and back generations from there in a long unbroken line, father to son, by God's grace. It was by the grace of God. But each father in turn provided a plowed, well-watered field in which the seed of faith to be planted by the Holy Spirit could grow. When I look at the last three generations of my family, I see that where the father had a strong faith, the children had faith, and where the father did not, the children, and especially the grandchildren, did not. The scripture indicates that the father is to teach the children. Deuteronomy 6:7. The father is to teach the children. A father's obedience to that charge is one of the things the Lord blesses. Many of you probably remember a TV comedian and preacher named Grady Nutt. He would tell a story about his father, who was also a preacher. My father would put his finger in the Bible and he would begin to preach. And he kept his finger in the Bible just in case he got to the text. So in the great tradition of Grady Nutt's father, the preacher, I will now turn to the text. Luke 11, verse 11. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? At the beginning of this chapter, in verses 1 through 4, Jesus teaches the disciples the familiar prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. Then Jesus tells them how much God loves them, how much the Father yearns for them, how willing the Father is to answer prayer. First, he tells them a parable, verses 5 through 8, dealing with persistence in prayer. Then in verses 9 through 13, Jesus teaches the disciples that our Father in heaven is eager to answer our prayers. In verses 11 to 13, Jesus addresses fathers directly. Fathers are supposed to provide for their children. That's what Jesus says. The positive side of this is, fathers are supposed to provide a plowed, well-watered field for the seed of the Spirit. mothers and other women can and often do provide this atmosphere also. But the work of a father provides scriptural evidence to the children. And the children notice this. And the Lord blesses it. The negative side of this is that that fathers are supposed to provide for their children, that the social problems we have in this country, abortion, lack of a good work ethic, lack of respect for authority, promiscuity, even lack of sexual identity, all these can be laid at the feet of absent fathers. Even if the mother is absent or unwilling to help, the presence of a father is a huge positive influence. And even if the mother is present and eager to teach the children, the absence of a father is a huge negative. The greatest gift an earthly father can give his children is to love their mother. That will be an example to them, the greatest example to them. Husbands and fathers, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 29 should be taken to heart. Paul has more to say about the duties of a husband in a marriage than about the duties of a wife. That is because the husband will answer to the Lord about how he treated his wife and whether he will present her before the Lord, glorious and holy, without the blemishes of physical, emotional, verbal, or sexual abuse. Wives are supposed to submit to their husbands as to the Lord, not as to a tyrant. Husbands, make sure you treat your wives as the Lord would treat her. Jesus says, if you who are evil, that includes everyone within earshot and all those out of earshot. It includes those on the Galilean hill and those in India and China and in the as yet undiscovered by Europeans, Americas. It includes all of us. We fathers are evil, but that does not matter to Jesus at this moment. He only uses it as a data point. We fathers who are evil, we know how to give good gifts to our children. Now, in contrast to us evil earthly fathers, Jesus talks about our heavenly Father. As far this way as our evil can lead us, so far this way is the righteousness of God our Heavenly Father. God is, our Heavenly Father is completely righteous the other way, beyond our measure. And as good as our gifts are, His gift is immeasurably more. He is willing to give the Holy Spirit to whoever asks Him. Jesus says, how much more? There are several aspects to this. How much more in quality? There is nothing more important than the gift of the Spirit because it's of eternal significance. This Holy Spirit hovered over the waters at creation, settled on the judges as they defeated Israel's enemies, energized the prophets, and came down on Jesus at his baptism to identify Jesus as the Son of God. This Holy Spirit inspired the Scriptures, guides us in the paths of righteousness, and seals us in the kingdom of God for eternity. There is no better life guide for life than the Spirit of God. This is what the Heavenly Father offers to those who ask. How much more in quantity? because he is the father of us all, Ephesians 3:15. This gift is for every human who will accept it. No one should think that he or she is excluded. There are no barriers to the gift and no barriers to the recipients. And once the gift is given, then there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. How much more in time, because God is the eternal Father for every generation. How much more in space, because there are no national boundaries for the family of God. It is not necessary to be a resident of Nairobi to be in the kingdom. Residents of Kathmandu are eligible, as are residents of Louisville. How much more in family circumstance? First of all, in faithful families. This is actually expected. Children of faithful parents are expected to be faithful, and we are puzzled and sad when they are not. In family circumstances, in unbelieving families, the gift is available to members of unbelieving families. Josh McDowell was the son of the town drunk. His father was abusive, an abusive father and husband. But the gift of the Holy Spirit was given by our eternal Father to Josh with joy. And Josh has been a faithful servant of the Lord for decades. And his father accepted the Lord also before he died, in a wonderful exception to the rule, where the son taught the father instead of the other way around. How much more in lax or forgetful families? If you are a father who has never gotten around to telling your son about Jesus, or if you are new to the faith and think it is too late for a witness to your children, it is never too late. Continue in prayer for those who have not yet decided for Christ. Continue to live by the Spirit. Your children will see your example at whatever stage of life they are at. They will have the chance to be obedient to the same God you serve. And finally, if the father has passed away or has left the family, this does not take the Lord by surprise. The Lord knows this. He does not expect the father of the family to teach the children if the father of the family is not there. But he has provided, as I learned in Jakarta, and even in this congregation, men in this congregation who are good fathers, men in this congregation who are good husbands. They can be mentors to the children. They can be father figures to the children. They can be examples to the children. And the children can be taught that this is the will of God. This is obedience to the Lord through generations. I've spoken here only to husbands and fathers. Maybe next Mother's Day I can speak to women and mothers. It is not that women don't have anything to do with raising their children. It is that I don't want to go on any longer. So I would just say that is enough for me, and I'll call on Pastor to pray.
Thanks so much, Bob. Appreciate it much. Let's join our hearts in prayer together.